This is one of those moments. I just to know you're here and awake and with me, I'll say good morning and invite a response. So good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, it's good to see you. Thank you. Makes me feel good. My name is Mario White. If I haven't met you yet, pleasure to meet you. Got to meet somebody new this morning and hoping to meet more as we go. If you're a guest, I want to say thanks for coming. I wear lots of different hats around here on the pastoral staff, but today I get the opportunity to be able to share what I believe God might have to say to us, and so it's just an honor to be here. This time of season is the time where we start to ramp up for the cold weather that's coming. I don't know if any of you will be getting your flu shots anytime soon. Anybody got that on the calendar, plan to do that? Got some people? Okay, yeah, all right. Well, some people get those ready to rock and roll. I know that for me, I'm not necessarily a flu shot guy, but I did have to go to the doctor not too long ago. And for me, it's one of my goals, I think, in life is to not go to the doctor as often as possible. There's a doctor, when I went to see him last time, he said, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. And I'm going, exactly, that's the goal. Like, if I don't see you, that means that's a good thing. And so I get the sentiment that you want to hang out maybe, but I'm not here. So there's a really infrequent rhythm that I go to the doctor if I can help it. And the same thing was true last time, where it just felt like it was all fresh and new as I went. And as I made my way in, sat down and waited for the nurse to call me back, and she did. And I went back and got on the scale. That's usually one of the first things. And so got on the scale, and she's starting to kind of dial in where I'm at on the scale there. And she looks at her chart, and she looks at me, and she goes, men. It's like, all right. So you men, like, you just, your weights don't change at all. And women's are changing all the time. And like, how do I respond to that? Sorry? I thought I'd put on some weight, but apparently not enough to make you happy. And so we make it back to the room, and she starts to do the pumping thing where she makes my arm go numb and she gets my blood pressure, all of that. And then she leaves, and then the doctor comes, and he has me sit on the bed. Now, again, this is regular routine, but when you just don't go enough, it all feels fresh and new. And he puts that thing in his ears, and he takes that disc and on my bare skin, and I think maybe just because I'm sensitive to stuff like other people may not be, he puts that cold disc on my bare skin and tells me to breathe, and I can't even breathe because it's like, you know, that shock that goes through, and it's like trying to breathe while that's going on. He does that four different times, and by the end, the disc is actually warm, and I'm thinking, how hard would it be to warm it up? I'm thinking, you know, if ministry doesn't work out, I have the solution for our healthcare. It's going to be the stethoscope warmer. I'm going to put that'll be $19.95 as seen on TV. You can make some installments for it. It'll just change the world. I'm looking forward to that day if ministry doesn't work out, the stethoscope warmer. You know, the stethoscopes, that's a hard word to say, but it's a profound instrument. I don't know, has anybody ever tried one of those where you put it in, it's like the real doctor's kind? You tried one of those? Isn't it amazing what you can hear? I mean, you can put that up to somebody and you can hear like their heart beating. You can hear stuff just kind of moving around, food that's digesting. You can just hear it all. You can hear what's going on inside somebody. I think, like, how amazing is that? How profound is the ability to listen within people? And really, that's something that is so impacting for us, isn't it? And I'm not just talking about listening inside in terms of like organs and digestive systems, but really the ability to listen to our hearts, to listen to our souls, to listen to that deepest part within us. There's something so profound when we are listened to well, when we're listened to what's going on within us, isn't it? I mean, you think about your life. Think about people who have come alongside and have listened to you, who have heard your story, who sat with you and listened to you well. Do you know those people? Do you remember those moments? And maybe it was a teacher or a mentor or your mom or your dad. Somebody who came along and they listened to what was going on within you. And my hunch is even as I share that, there's somebody that comes to mind for you. And I would suggest that the reason is because that person listening had a profound impact on your life. It's one of those moments that you don't forget very easily. Because listening has a way of impacting the way that we live. It impacts the way that we end up responding to people. You see, I bring that up because we're in this series, as you can see, The Arts of Spiritual Conversations. And we've been having a conversation over these past few weeks about what it means to have spiritual conversations that lead people towards Jesus instead of away from him. You know, the reality is in America is that when it comes to seeing people come to know Jesus in a vibrant faith, we aren't doing that well at it. The reality is that we're failing miserably at it. And so there has to be a question of why that is, and do we need to rethink this whole idea of what we would call evangelism? And what we would suggest is that there's a need to consider these arts of having spiritual conversations. I mean, we live in America where there's a culture that we're embedded in, a culture that we live in. Whether we think about it or wake up to it, whether we know it or not, there are some unwritten things that go with being in this land. And part of it is this kind of rugged individualism that we don't wake up thinking, I'm going to be an individualist, but it kind of just is part of the culture. There's a sense of a classism that ends up taking place where there's a need to be right, to be higher, and hierarchies end up happening, and climbing corporate ladders and making sure you're ahead of the other person, that there's these subtle things that start to make their way in and into the way that we live, but it can also seep into Christianity as well. It can seep into the way that we end up reading scripture. It can seep into the way that we think about the things that we're supposed to be doing. It can end up leading to this mentality that says, in terms of evangelism, give me a program and help me to learn it so that I can do it now to save people. There's this urgency that comes. Give me the program so I can do it now. And the urgency makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, if you read through scripture, part of the gospel message is that if people don't come to know Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior, they will spend eternity without him. We call that hell, eternal separation. And so there's this urgency that starts to well up within us. And then we read the words of Paul. He's writing to the Romans and he says this. He says, how then can they call on the one if they have not believed? Call on the one they have not believed in. And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And so we hear these words and we have this urgency and it's all within us. And so it's all fine and good. But the question is our next step to go knock on our neighbor's door, and when they open it, just let them know, hey, just want to let you know you're going to hell today if you don't change. I mean, is our next move with our urgency one to go to the next sporting event and hold up a sign and say that sinners are going to hell? Maybe. I mean, I don't want to write that off. I mean, God might lead us to do that. But the problem is so often we can take scriptures like this and do some horrible things in the name of what we call spreading the good news. We've seen it throughout history, and we've seen with our desire, with our passion, with our urgency, instead of doing things that lead people towards Jesus, we actually do things that end up pushing them further away. And so what I want us to hear this morning is not, we don't need to get rid of the urgency. No. Jesus was real clear that he came on a mission to seek and save people that were lost, and he was very clear with the urgency that he had with people. But you see, I'm not inviting us to get rid of the urgency, but instead, let's put the urgency in context. Let's have a way in which we use that urgency that actually brings life. Instead of using urgency in a way that might bring damage, maybe we would consider to use our urgency to earn the right to be heard in other people's lives. That we would use that urgency instead of having to say something, that to earn the right instead, to have permission in people's lives to share what it is that we need to share. You see, that's what Jesus did so well. He got this, he understood this, and he explains it. In a world where everything is big, where we have big cars and big screen TVs and everything is so big, Jesus turns everything on its head. And he offers these words. He says, there is a large work that I've called you to, but don't be overwhelmed by it. It's best to start small. Give a cool cup of water to someone who is thirsty, for instance. The smallest act of giving or receiving makes you a true apprentice. You won't lose out on a thing. It says start small. Think differently about this whole thing, of this task that you have in front of us. But that can be really hard for many of us, can't it? I mean, after all, for many of us, when it comes to evangelism, we think that we have it figured out. We've done our job when we told people the stuff they need to know. I mean, that's what evangelism has kind of been boiled down to. Tell people the stuff they need to know, and we've done our job. And I don't know about you, I went to a Bible school, and we had a whole class called evangelism. And that's what we spent our time doing, is making sure we had all the right tips and techniques down, the Romans road, the spiritual laws, all of them, so that when we get out there and talk with people, we'd know what to say. And what I want to suggest is, as great as that is, it's not that helpful when we get out into the real world. You see, we've become really good at offering presentations, but haven't gotten so good at the realm of having spiritual conversations. You see, spiritual conversations require something else of us. It's a whole lot more of an art form than it is a science. It's a whole lot more about this place, this soft way of being with people, this softness. It's not this hard, here's what you do next, and when you get through the end of the program, you'll have somebody that comes to know Jesus. No. It's a whole lot more fluid. It's a whole lot more like art. And in this art form, what we've come to recognize is that Jesus says, hey, just a cup of cold water can make a huge difference. Think small, little things that can be refreshing, like simply noticing people. Just noticing what's going on in their world. We see that happening with Jesus. In our first week, we unpacked that a little bit to recognize Jesus noticed the people around him. And as he did, it led to compassion. And that compassion ended up leading to action. Last week, we talked about this realm of prayer. That before we even go out and try to have spiritual conversations, maybe we need to do something small by drawing back and praying for people. Because what we come to recognize is that prayer has the power to change the hearts of people. I don't know about you, but we've been trying to be really clear and in inviting people to put into action some of the things that we're talking about, to be, have it be more than just this neat idea, this neat thought, but to put it into practice. And I wonder, did anybody join me in praying for a person specifically? Did anybody do that? Yeah, great, wonderful. I know that I did, and I can say that honestly, I wish I could stand up here and say, yeah, because I prayed, my friend that I was praying for came to know Jesus. That's not the story. I wish that could be it. I wish I could say that I prayed for him every day this week, but I didn't. But I would say more days than in the past I did. What I can say is I found myself noticing things in his life as a result of being intentional about prayer for him than I had before. What I did notice is that there were moments in which I found myself gathering other people around to pray for my friend. There's just this passion, desire to see him come to know the goodness of who Jesus is. And I love the way that someone, it's like, would you pray for my friend? And somebody did. And as I was just agreeing in prayer, as she prayed, I so appreciated what she said. It was, if you don't know Jesus, I mean, these are some of the prayers that we pray for you. Because we believe that when you come to know Jesus, you get all the life that God has in store. And so she prayed, God, I pray for Mario's friend. I pray that you would get him. Get him, Jesus, and bring him in. I'm like, yeah, get him. Like, do what needs to be done, because life is found in Jesus. Let's do this thing, Jesus. And just this welling up to notice what's happening in his family with his wife and kids. It's like, God, I want to be there in those moments, and how can I pray? I find myself Facebook stalking him in ways that I hadn't before, just noticing what's going on in this world and finding that as a way to pray. You see, those things have a way of cultivating a life in which we find ourselves prepared to step into spiritual conversations, noticing prayer, and also this realm of listening. You see, listening in our world has a way of displaying the love of God. It has a way of showing that we care. When people see that we listen, they know that we care. Our culture is longing and thirsting for somebody just to notice, just to be there long enough to listen to their story. It's something that we all long for. I have these words here, that when we take initiative to listen to people around us in their everyday lives, and when we seek to understand them rather than try to explain ourselves, we reflect the humility, the self-sacrifice, and the genuine care of Jesus. And in reflecting Jesus, we are revealing the heart of God, which is ultimately what we long to do, to reveal God's heart. But let's be honest, self-sacrifice, humility, who wants to do that? I mean, come on. I know that for me, it's a whole lot easier to be in conversation and just kind of give the presentation than it is to sit there and listen. Because let's be honest, I don't know about you, but as I thought about reasons why I don't listen so well, I know that one of them is honestly, I don't want to take the time to listen. I don't want to spend the time to listen to what people have to say. And every husband, every boyfriend in this place is internally saying amen, but you know well enough to not say it out loud because you like your face not being red. And so but there's this internal thing that goes on. It's like, if I ask the question, how long will I be here? Better just not say anything at all and keep moving. You see, it's really difficult often for guys because we think we have the answer. And so instead of asking the question, let me just give you the answer and keep moving, when really that's what's not needed in that moment. But that's a whole other conversation. Another reason why I don't listen so often in moments is just simply because I don't want to hear what people might say, because it might be true. And that truth might hurt. And so it's better to kind of leave the elephant out there and not address it, not listen, not engage it at all, and just kind of go through life and just kind of plug my ears. And then once they're done talking, then I'll offer the words that I already had prepared to say. See, it's better not to listen in those moments, at least for me, at least I think. Humility, this place of surrender, who wants to do that? Who wants to live that way? Who wakes up thinking, yeah, I just can't wait to be humbled today? We don't do that. But you see, Jesus lived his life that way. We see Jesus in moments in which he's walking down a road. He had just left Jericho. And as he did, there was a crowd of people that were around him. People were walking behind him, ahead of him. And as they were, there was this guy who was on the side of the road. And he's calling out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the people who were ahead of Jesus, they heard what he was saying. They said, be quiet. Don't bother him like that. But even louder, this blind man, whose name was Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, he calls out even louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Scripture lets us know that Jesus hears Bartimaeus, and he calls Bartimaeus over, and as he does, Jesus has a really short conversation with Jesus that is so profound. Listen to how it goes here. It says that Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Profound question that Jesus asks. And we get the response. It said, my rabbi, the blind man said, I want to see. And Jesus said to him, go, for your faith has healed you. Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. But did you catch that? So subtle. So subtle that we can just move right on beyond it. Did you catch it? That the God of heaven and earth, the God who created everything that is good in this world, slowed down long enough to listen to the request of a blind man. The God who created all that we have that is good, slowed down long enough to listen to this man, to hear what he had to say. You see, it happens in moments with Jesus where he's in the midst of a crowd, tons of people around him. And as he is, there's this woman who's having these issues with bleeding. And she thought, you know what, if I can just make my way to him, if I can just touch his cloak, just touch the hem of his garment, maybe, just maybe, I might be healed. And so she makes her way through the crowd, reaches through, makes her way to Jesus. In the midst of everybody pressing up against him, she does it. She grabs his cloak, and instantly she is healed, and she knows it. And so does Jesus. And Jesus, noticing that power came out from him, he says, who touched me? And the disciples are there and they're going, are you kidding me, Jesus? Do you see all the people pressing around you? And you're going to ask the question, who touched you? I don't know if you've ever tried to rebuke Jesus before. It doesn't work too well. Jesus is determined to know what took place. He's like, actually, yes, I do want to know. I do want to know what happened. We read this in Scripture. It says, but he went on asking, looking around to see who had done it. The woman, knowing what had happened, knowing she was the one, stepped up in fear and in trembling, knelt before him, and listened to this, and gave him the whole story. Jesus sat and listened to her whole story, and then, we read this. Jesus says to her, "Daughter, you took a risk of faith, and now you are healed and whole. Live well, be blessed, be healed of your plague." You see, Jesus took the time to listen to what was going on within her. You know what I'd suggest is maybe you've never read the scriptures before in this way, in the Gospels. You know, there's not too many moments where it says, "Jesus, listen." But what I would suggest is that throughout the scriptures, if you were willing to take the time to read the gospel narratives, to read the story and life of Jesus with this lens of how Jesus took time to listen, I tell you, there's moment after moment after moment in which the God of heaven and earth takes time to listen to people. And as he does, I tell you, life change starts taking place as a result of that. Jesus takes time to listen to people. And while there's an explicit thing that we see with Jesus, Jesus' half-brother later on gives us some real clear words about what it means to be disciples, about what it means to be followers of his half-brother Jesus. He offers these words, "Hey, if you're going to follow, then understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must be quick. You all must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. That's what we are to be as followers of Christ. You see, there was this guy named Doug, and he was talking to a guy named Victor. Victor was a younger guy. And Doug Pollack, he's not just some guy that's kind of way out there. I believe he actually lives in Oregon. And we're going to be having Doug be with us next month, October 25th. And so I just want to encourage you, if you're in a place where you're saying, "You know what, Mario, you know what, there's a sense in which I'm hearing about these arts of spiritual conversations. I recognize I'm not the best at them yet, but I want to continue to grow in that." Doug will be with us for an entire Saturday sharing with us about how we can live into these spiritual conversations well. I mean, he's a master at it. He's so good at having conversations with people that don't know Jesus in a way that actually shows that he cares. And he'll be inviting us, sharing with us how to do that. There'll be free food that day. We're working on childcare. But just mark your calendars, October 28th. But Doug, he's having this conversation with Victor. And this Victor, this younger guy, Doug asked the question, "If I gave you 30 minutes to speak to a group of Christians on what not to do when having a spiritual conversation with you, what would you tell them?" Interesting question. Well, Victor responds without hesitation. He says, "I tell them that if you are not willing to listen to me, I'm not going to listen to you." He continued, "Every conversation I've ever had with Christians has been so one-sided. They want to do all the talking and expect me to do all the listening." Well, Doug used some reflective questions, and he asked, "Am I hearing you correctly?" after he kind of summed up what he said. And Victor replied, "Absolutely, and it makes me so mad because it's quite obvious that all they are concerned about is with getting their point across. It comes across as very arrogant and very disrespectful. Ouch. I end up not wanting to do anything with their religion because I would never want to become like one of them." Doug then asks him a follow-up question. He said, "I'm wondering if you've ever had a positive spiritual conversation with a Christian. And if so, what made it different?" Well, Victor quickly responded. He said, "I've only ever had one. And it was because this Christian actually listened to me and asked questions about what I believe." Doug asked him to clarify why this conversation stood out as the only positive encounter that he ever had with a Christian. And Victor responded very insightfully. He said, "Because when he listened to me, I could actually tell that the person cared. It's because he listened to me that I could tell that he cared." You see, I know that we could pass off Victor as one of those millennials who's angry and mad at the world and not getting his way, and so we just kind of pass him off. But let's think about it for a moment. In your life, what happens when you aren't listened to well? What happens when you have something to say and it just gets blown over? How do you feel in those moments? You see, reality is we end up feeling a whole lot more like Victor than what we may want to sometimes admit. You see, in this realm of listening, it's something that we all can do. In this realm of listening, it's not something where we just kind of sit passively by and just kind of go, and just kind of wait for our turn. It's so much more active than that. You know, there's a couple of guys in our staff, when we were getting Gateway Counseling started, they came up to me and they said, like, Mario, how in the world, and maybe why in the world, would you sit there and listen to people's problems for 50 minutes at a time? Like, I don't get that at all. That seems like the worst kind of torture he could possibly give. I don't know if some of you kind of fall in that same kind of vein. Like, it's like, you know, just not geared that way. It's like, I get that. You're not geared that way. So that's part of it. But the other part of it is this, is that it's not some passive thing where you're just kind of sitting there like as a blank slate for 50 minutes at all. No, it's when with people, there's these questions of like, what's happening within you? And what's happening within me? What's happening between us as we're sitting here? What could God be up to? What might he want to do in these moments? There's this thoughts of, oh, dear Lord, what have I stepped into? Would you please help me? There's moments that are just difficult, but by no means is it sort of just a passive passing of time. And you see, you don't need a PhD, you don't need a master's degree, you don't need some kind of degree in order to be a person who listens well. All you need to do is be a person who's willing to slow down and take time and recognize what's going on in people's lives. There's this idea of something that's simply called reflective listening. It's the ability to be able to respond back to what it is you just heard. And I just want to say, I know that this is gender-wise, I know that may be tough, but reality is for guys, we don't grow up with that in our vocabulary, in our language. We just don't. We kind of grunt and say, uh-huh, and keep moving. But the ability to have this reflective listening can make a big difference. Reflective listening, there's so many things I could offer, but it's simply things just simply like saying, hey, so if I heard you right, is this what you're saying? It sounds like you were just kind of saying this. Am I with you? It's statements like that that help people know, yeah, you're tracking with me, or no, you didn't quite get it, but let me help you understand. That can make a big difference in conversation. I encourage you to try that out this week. So it sounds like you're saying it's those moments that can make such a big difference. You see, listening seeks to discover people's stories and to learn what interests them, and ultimately to discover where God is at work in their lives. You see, listening has a profound way of impacting the lives of people, and when we don't listen, we might end up missing out on something that could be possible if we took time to do that. There was a man named Ernesto, and he found that to be true. I want you to listen to his story.
Everything I do, and everything I do professionally, my life has been shaped by 7 years of work as a young man in Africa. From 1971 to 1977, I've been young, but I'm not. I worked in Zambia,
Ivory Coast, Algeria, Somalia, in projects of technical cooperation with African countries. I worked for an Italian NGO, and every single project that we set up in Africa failed. And I was distraught. I thought, age 21, that we Italians were good people and we were doing good work in Africa. Instead, everything we touched, we killed. Our first project, the one that has inspired my first book, Ripples from the Zambezi, was a project where we Italians decided to teach Zambian people how to grow food. So we arrived there with Italian seeds in southern Zambia, in this absolutely magnificent valley, going down to the Zambezi River, and we taught the local people how to grow Italian tomatoes and zucchini. And of course, the local people had absolutely no interest in doing that, so we paid them to come and work, and sometimes they would show up. And we were amazed that the local people in such fertile valley would not have any agriculture. And but instead of asking them how come they were not growing anything, we simply said, thank God we're here. Just in the nick of time to save the Zambian people from starvation. And of course, everything in Africa grew beautifully, and we had these magnificent tomatoes. In Italy, a tomato would grow to this size, in Zambia, to this size. And we could not believe. And we were telling the Zambians, look how easy agriculture is. When the tomatoes were nice and ripe and red, overnight, some 200 hippos came out of the, from the river and they ate everything. And we said to the Zambians, "My God, the hippos!" And the Zambia said, "Yes, that's why we have no agriculture here." "Why didn't you tell us?" "You never asked."
You never asked. You never took time to listen. Because if you did, it might have a different result. You see, this ability to listen can make such a huge difference in people's lives. You know, I wonder what it would be like for us if we took time to listen to people's stories. If we took time to slow down long enough, well, how would it change the conversation that you have with your spouse, with your boyfriend, with your girlfriend? How would it change the way that you have conversations with coworkers, with people that you know, that you, your neighbors, people that you come in contact with people who don't know Jesus? How would that change the way that you would engage if you slowed down long enough to listen to what it is they have to say? You see, I believe that for many of us who are in the spots where we kind of are geared up to tell, geared up to share, geared up to say something. And what I want to suggest is a cup of cold water in our world is just the ability to listen on behalf of others. You see, what I want to invite us to this week is really practical. It's really simple. I mean, just talking about listening, I want to bring us down to where we live. That this week, that as you find yourself in conversation, would you take the initiative to refrain from giving advice? And you know what I'm talking about, some of you. You get in those moments and you're ready to blast off with something. But in the moment in which you normally would say something, would you slow down long enough to just simply listen and refrain from giving advice and see what happens next? See where the conversation goes. That's why I want to invite you to this week as you find yourself in conversation and see if something different takes place as you take time to listen. You see, if you don't hear anything else this morning, here's what I believe God would be moving us towards, is to live a life like Jesus. And what we see in the life of Jesus is someone who lived with urgency, who lived with this desire to seek and save those that were lost. But the way that he did it was so completely different than the programs and the things we often offer to people. You see, what I want to invite us to this morning is to use the urgency that we have, to take that urgency to spread the gospel by listening to people. Use that urgency in a way that honors God, to listen to the people that are around us. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to prepare to close. And as we do, I was just thinking about moments in my life that make it tough to listen, as I shared earlier. And moments of confession before God, and I find that there's places within me, and maybe you find yourself in those moments where you got to be right, where always got to have the last word, where it's got to be my point of view. And there's this calling of Jesus to surrender that, to kind of lay that down, and to say, you don't need to have the last word. You don't always have to have it be about your point of view. Now, some of us in this place, there's stuff that we need to hear from other people, but we're scared to go into those conversations. What I find is that perfect love casts out all fear. And what would it be like for us to offer up that fear to Jesus, recognizing that there's some truth, there's maybe some realities that we need to hear so that we can move into who Jesus has called us to be, but it requires for us to surrender and be in a place to listen. You know, some of us have loved ones in our families, in our friends, coworkers, neighbors that don't know Jesus. And for us to be in a spot where we would lead first by listening, we need to move into that place. And I was thinking about, for some of us, we're like Bartimaeus, aren't we? To be honest, we're kind of like we're on the side of the road and we don't know Jesus. And here he is coming by longing to meet with you. You recognize your life is blind. You've been trying to make it work, but it hasn't. And just like Bartimaeus, you recognize that one has come that wants to offer you life, that wants to help you be able to see the way that you are meant to. If that's you, I want to pray with you to receive the life that only Jesus can give. Would you join me in prayer this morning as we prepare to close? Jesus, we thank you for the sending of your Spirit that calls and moves us and draws us to be more like you. And in a world, God, where we grow up, where everything is kind of geared toward this idea of being about ourselves and us moving forward and us having our stuff presented, We see you, Jesus, in the way that you live. Would you forgive us for always having to need to have our point of view be the one that's expressed? We confess, Lord, the moments, the needs, the ways in which we find ourselves having to have the last word. We ask that you forgive us for those moments where we've leaned into people that way. And ask that you would grant us courage to live differently. In those places and also in the places, Lord, where we recognize that there are elephants in the room, there's conversations that need to be had, conversations that we know we need to step into and to listen well, but we know that what will be said will be hurtful. God, would you grant us the courage to be able to step into those with a listening ear, the way that you did in so many circumstances? We need the life of you welling up within us. We ask for your encouragement to move us on. I pray for my friends in this place that resonate with Bartimaeus, who don't know you, who feel like on the side of the road of life, in need of life, and here you are, walking, meeting with them. And their heart is the same one that calls out that the same way that Bartimaeus did, that says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Would you come into my life and be my Lord and my Savior? Be my God. Forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from the inside out. I want to follow you. Would you help me be able to see the way that you see this world? I thank you, Jesus, that in this moment, that as people are saying that prayer or derivative of it, there's a way in which you are moving into their heart. You're bringing life, spiritual life. The life that we've been longing for. And we say, thank you for it. And Jesus, I pray for my friends in this place that need a touch from you. And here we are reaching out. Just like that woman did, reaching out to you, saying, Jesus, if I can just grab a hold of you this morning. I need a miracle in my life. I need something to happen in my life. You see what's going on with me. Jesus, I need power to come out from you to bring healing. Jesus, would you do that in individuals' lives all over this place, I'm asking? Would you bring miracles where they're needed? Would you change circumstances where they're needed? Would you bring rightness where it seems like things have gone so wrong? Would you bring healing where it's needed? Choose to trust you for that, even in these moments. Be on the lookout, God, for how you are at work. We surrender ourselves to you wherever we're at this morning, that you might have your way in our hearts and in our lives. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, maybe be a people that listens this week. If you forget everything that I said today, I want to encourage you just to take the program home with you. We really want to make a point of do these things, put them into practice, and see what God does in these moments. You'll see listed in there ways that you can do it. And now I want to offer the words that Paul offered to the people in Corinth as he was wrapping up a letter to them. And may you receive it as we prepare to go this morning. It says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. May it be true for you in particular as you find yourselves in places and conversations where you're listening on behalf of Jesus. Blessings on you guys and have a wonderful week.